Well, now will you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the second book of Samuel. And our passage today is chapter 17, which is a long passage. So to make it longer, I want to read the last verse of chapter 16, because it sets the scene for us. So 2 Samuel 16, verse 23, and going on to read chapter 17. It's a chapter full of intrigue and interest and challenge. When I first read it, when Paul said we're in 2 Samuel 17, or came across, I thought, wow, what a chapter. What does this teach us? What can we learn about God and his word and his will for our lives from this? And then as I prayed about it and studied it, well, there are a number of important lessons for us here. So follow it through with me. Come in at verse 23. This is after Absalom has rebelled against David, and David, who was the king, has fled with some of his supporters, and Absalom is on the up and taking over. So verse 23. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak, and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return, except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, "Now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up." So Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For," said Hushai, "you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war, and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit, or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first, that whoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you, from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go out to battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he's withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river, until there's not one small stone found there." So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel, for the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, Thus, and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus, and so have I advised. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at Enrogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them that they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went quickly and came to a man's house in Baharim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan? So the woman said to them, they've gone over the water brook. And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, arise, cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. There he put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in his father's tomb. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasai captain of the army instead of Joab. Then Amasai was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash, from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machir the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, and wheat and barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So reads the word of God. If you take your Bibles now and turn for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I just want to read verses 10 to 17. It's important, you see, we've read that Old Testament passage and we're back to that in a moment, but does it really matter? Yes, it does. And this little passage from 2 Timothy reminds us of that. Let me read from verse 10. But you've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which have happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That includes 2 Samuel chapter 17. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray for help in understanding this chapter before us and in profiting from it, that we might trust you and be Christ-like in our living day by day. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So then, we come to 2 Samuel chapter 17. In my notes here, I put a heading with one word, and it's the word advice. I had a phone call yesterday from a gentleman, a Christian man I know, older than I am, and he was ringing up and asking me for some advice about certain church matters. And I did my best to give him what I thought was good advice. I may discover later today whether it's good advice or not. But we're often asked, aren't we, to give advice to someone. Or maybe more often than that, we ask other people for advice. How shall I tackle this? What shall I do in this situation? Do you know what's happened to me? And we come with our questions. It's important that we ask the right people and that we're wise in what we listen to. The best person to ask for advice, of course, is the Lord himself. Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Isn't that what we want this morning? Teach me your way, O Lord. So if the preacher gets it wrong, well, you'll have to forgive him and rebuke him, or the other way round. But the Lord never gets it wrong, so we must listen to him and to his word. We thank God for godly friends and for wise counsellors, but it's discovering what the Lord wants in the end, because God is sovereign. And that, again, is one of the kind of overarching messages of this whole chapter. It says in Proverbs 16:33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." God is in control. Daniel speaks of God in chapter 2, verse 21, and says, "He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." God is sovereign, remember that. And we need to know what God has to say and wants us to respond to. So, I'm looking at this chapter under three headings. First, verses 1 to 13, notice the advice that was given. The advice that was given. You'll know, if you've been following this on a Sunday morning, that Absalom has rebelled against his father, King David, and he's got a huge band of support, and so much so that David has had to flee from Jerusalem with the supporters he has, and Absalom is on the up. It's all going his way. And he wants to know what to do next. David has fled, just fled. How is he going to cement his position and authority? He wants some advice. And he gets two lots of advice, and they're conflicting lots of advice. First, verses 1 to 4, he gets the advice of this man called Ahithophel. Who was he, Ahithophel? Well, he'd been David's counsellor and advisor. He seems to have been, certainly at one stage, a very godly man who was full of wisdom and good advice. But now he's a conspirator with Absalom to overthrow David. He has changed sides. Why, you wonder? What has he got against David, whom he served so well, that now he wants David dead and Absalom in complete control? I don't know if you've done any research on this or whether it's been mentioned in the past, but Matthew Henry, the old Bible commentator, excellent Bible commentary, and Warren Wiersbe, who's just been called home to glory, a lovely Bible commentator, and I've heard him speak, he's a very gracious and godly man. They both say that the reason why Ahithophel changed sides was because of David's adultery in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Because the lady he saw and took to himself, Bathsheba, she was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. So it would seem that, enraged by what David has done in ruining the marriage of his granddaughter and arranging the death of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, Ahithophel is angry and full of bitterness and hatred for David. That would seem to be the reason why. You see, there is always a danger, isn't there, of any of us harbouring grudges or being gripped by hatred, wanting revenge. And that's sad, because we're told, aren't we, in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. If you're bitter about someone who's wronged you in the past, it will not do you any good. It will rot your bones. It will spoil your life. You can't alter what's happened in the past, and if you've tried to sort it out and failed, you have to leave it in the Lord's hands, but not to be gripped by bitterness or wrath and anger and hatred. It will do you no good. And if you think this morning, that doesn't affect me, I don't feel like that about anybody, just let me remind you that it says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. Because we're all open to temptation and trial. So here's Ahithophel, now serving Absalom. Notice also what he advised. The advice of Ahithophel. He gave good advice. 2 Samuel 16:23, we read about the advice of Ahithophel that he gave. It was like that of one who inquires of God. It was good advice. His advice was that he himself, Ahithophel, should lead a small army of 12,000 men. That's here in verse 1. Let me choose 12,000 men. I will arise and pursue David tonight. I'll strike while the iron's hot. I'll get in. I'll discover where David is. I will kill him. And that's the end of it. Because those who are with him will have no one to follow. So they'll just pack it in and can come back and all be finished. That was Ahithophel's wise advice. Yes, it was because he wanted perhaps to settle an old score, and he was seeking for himself, and now he got a new master, but he gives that advice. Absalom has another man who's hanging around, this man called Hushai. He gives some advice. Absalom sends for him and asks him for advice. Now, who was Hushai? He was Hushai the Archite, we read. He came from a place called Arki near Bethel in Israel. And he's called in 1 Chronicles 27:33 the king's friend. He was a friend of David. He was another advisor of David's. He remained loyal to David. And when David ran away from Jerusalem, Hushai wanted to go with him. But David said no. He said no, 2 Samuel 15:33, because you'll become a burden to me. I guess he was an older man and would hold things back perhaps a bit. And David sends him back to 2 Samuel 15:34, saying, you may be able to defeat the advice of Ahithophel. So he's pitting one against the other. And Hushai displays great courage in doing what David says, in going into what was for him the enemy camp, and in getting himself popular so he could find out what was going on and pass on other advice. A man of courage. Every Christian is called to be courageous. Isn't that so? Isn't that what Joshua was told in Joshua 1:7? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right nor to the left. Or 1 Corinthians 15:58. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Do you give up or do you keep going? Do you persist in living for Jesus Christ even though your circumstances today might be difficult? You might be facing trouble, hardship, challenge. Oh, let's jack it all in. Or are you prepared to continue to serve the Lord even in dangerous and difficult ways? Hushai was. And notice what he advised. When Absalom tells him what Ahithophel has said, Hushai says, actually, Ahithophel's got it wrong this time. He may usually get it right. This time he's got it wrong. This is what you're to do. You're to get a huge army. Call people from Dan to Beersheba, the length and breadth of the land. Get a mighty army. Get them all together. And you yourself go out front and lead this mighty army and wipe out David and those who follow him. Even if he's holed up in a town somewhere, well, you know, you can drag the town into the river kind of thing. Put ropes around and pull it away into the river. You'll get rid of him that way. And you'll be king before everybody then. That was his advice. Of course, he was appealing to Absalom's vanity. You lead the troops. You do this. And Absalom liked that. Why did Hushai give this kind of advice? Well, it was to give him time to get a message to David as to what David should do, and to give David time to escape. For to gather that vast army would delay things a bit. Ahithophel said, attack tonight. Hushai says, get a big army first. Because Hushai is God's man in a difficult situation. So, two sets of advice. The second thing we notice here from this is the answer that follows. Look at verse 14. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. There's a key verse in this chapter. Notice the answer. The advice of Hushai the Archite is better. Absalom had a choice. But it seemed popular opinion was to go with what Hushai said. Now, this intrigues me here. You notice that the advice that Ahithophel gives, that pleases the elders of Israel. They like it. That's in verse 4. The saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Whereas the advice that Hushai gives, that pleases all the men of Israel. So it's going wider and the elders are not really being listened to. It reminded me of the time in 1 Kings 12, first 17 verses, when Rehoboam becomes king after Solomon. And Solomon has been quite a strong king. And now Rehoboam is king. And he says to his elders, how shall I act as the new king? And his elders say, ease up. Don't put too many burdens on the people. Take the pressure off. Make it, you know, a happier place to live. And then Rehoboam says to his young men, his friends, those his own age and so on, how do you think I should rule as king? And they say, oh, don't ease up. No, no. Crack the whip a bit more. Make these people work and do as they should. You give your authority. You're the king. Which advice was he to follow? Foolishly, he followed the advice of the young men with disastrous results. If you want to know the answer, read 1 Kings 12. You'll find out what happens there. But it was a disaster because he took the wrong advice. How careful we must be when we get advice, to weigh it and to pray about it and to test it by the principles of Holy Scripture and to seek godly wisdom before we do anything. You see, why did this happen? It's the Lord working his purposes out. That's what we read, isn't it? The Lord purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. God is at work in all this. God has his purposes that we don't always know. And that's for good or for trouble, depending on our situation. There's that lovely promise that's known very well, and maybe you know it, and it's been a blessing to you in Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. God works for the good of those who love him, even if it's in tough times. Is it William Cowper's hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. There's a verse which says, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. One of the principles, it seems, of Holy Scripture is that even when things are going disastrously wrong, and here's David on the run and it's all against him, God is in control. God is working his purposes out. Things are happening that David has no knowledge of, but God knows and God cares. And we need to remember that today. God is sovereign. He's in control. He knows you and your situation. And if you are committed to him, if you belong to him, he will work it out for your good. Ultimately, even if at present it seems very difficult. The other reason why this answer was followed, yes, because the Lord worked his purposes out. And secondly, yes, because the Lord answers prayer. What did David pray in 2 Samuel 15:31? O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. That's what David had prayed. David knew Ahithophel was a wise counsellor, but he's asking that God would do what seemed almost impossible. Turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. God answered his prayer. One very short prayer that is a challenge and an encouragement to me is found in the first two words of Psalm 12 and verse 1. The first two words of Psalm 12 and verse 1 are, help, Lord. Not a lot to remember, is it? But what a mighty prayer. Of course, you can read the rest of the psalm. There's more in the psalm than two words. But help. Don't you need help sometimes? Aren't you up against it sometimes? Don't you find you've got difficulties, trials, temptations, heartaches? You don't know what to do? That's what to do. Help. Acknowledge. You can't solve it. You don't know what to do. Help, Lord. And Lord, there is in capital letters. Jehovah, the I Am, the one who was, is and will be. Who better to turn to in your trouble than the Lord? Help, Lord. It's a little prayer. God answers prayer. That's great. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. What did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew 7:7? Ask and it will be given you. Isn't that wonderful? Simple, isn't it? How much time do you give to seeking the face of God in prayer? How important is talking with the Lord to you? How often we sing the lovely old hymn of Joseph Scriven, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a privilege to pray. We see the advice that was given, we see the answer that followed, and thirdly, we see the actions that resulted. There are a number of actions that follow, aren't there, what we've seen so far. First, we see the actions that affected Hushai. We see the Lord's protection. Hushai takes that advice, both what Ahithophel has said and what he has said, and he tells Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, who were still, of course, there in the city, but were on David's side. So they now know the advice. It's got to be got to David. But they have to be careful. They've got to get the message across. So they use a servant girl to take the message, to leave the city and go to where Zadok and Abiathar's sons, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, are, and they take the message to them to take to David. But alas, those two young men were seen leaving. Someone spotted them, and someone went and told Absalom, "Two young men have gone rushing off. I think that's, you know, there's trouble." So Absalom sends soldiers out to find them. The two young men hurried to a place called Baharam, where there was a farmer who hid them in a well. Not a place you might want to be hidden in, but it did the trick. I guess it was dry, or at least there were ledges down below so they could. And the farmer's wife, we don't know her name, She spreads a cover over the well and she puts grain on the top. So it looks as though it's been there for ages. So the soldiers looking for these two young men can't find them anywhere. And they ask the woman, "These two young men, have you seen them? And where have they gone, Jonathan and Ahimaaz?" And the woman says, "Well, they went that way over the brook." So off they go looking for them. They can't find them. So they go back home. The well is uncovered. The two young men get out and they make their way as quickly as they can, and they discover David and tell him what's been advised. And for Hushai's advice to David to get away across the Jordan as quickly as possible, not to hang around. It's wonderful, isn't it, that you know, God is at work in protecting his people. Psalm 27:5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. He will set me high upon a rock." Or Psalm 17:8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." Or Paul, the great apostle, Acts 23, shipwrecked. They could have all drowned. But he encourages, doesn't he, the sailors on the boat, because he tells them this: "Take courage, the Lord stood near me and said, 'Take courage, as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify in Rome.'" God is at work in protecting, in sheltering his people for his purposes. The other thing that strikes me here is quite amazing, encouraging to me, is this: that God uses insignificant people. You know, the servant girl, the two lads, the farmer and his wife. Apart from the two lads, we don't know their names or any more about them. But God knew them. And God used them. And isn't that the story often in Scripture? Do we know the name of the little maid who told Naaman about the prophet in Israel who could cure leprosy? No, we don't know her name. Do we know the name of the boy who brought to the Lord Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish? No, we don't know his name. Doesn't David say on one occasion, 1 Chronicles 19:14, but who am I? And what are these people? He was just a shepherd boy. God blessed him and had his hand upon him. And God cares about you and me. And we may not feel that we feature as being very important. And maybe in this world we're not. Other people don't know who we are or what we've done, unless anybody has done anything spectacular and had your name in the papers. Most of us are just ordinary everyday folk, aren't we? But special to God, who has his hand upon us and a purpose for us. Barbara's doing a jigsaw at the moment. It's one of those things that helps her as she recovers. And she's got this huge jigsaw of Sandringham that we bought when we were there, I think, last year or the year before. And lots of the bits, I don't do jigsaws, lots of the bits look the same. There's a lot of blue. Some of it's the blue of the water. Some of it's the blue of the sky. And find out which bit fits where. Every piece is important. Every piece matters. And in the same way, though we may seem insignificant to others, you matter to God. He cares about you. He has a purpose for you. And I think that is encouraging for us. Actions, the actions of Hushai, the actions of David. David takes notice, doesn't he? David crosses over the Jordan. He goes straight away and they all going to cross. Had he not crossed Jordan then, and the armies of Absalom come, David and many of his folk would have been slaughtered, because it would have been a narrow crossing. There would have been panic. It would have been disaster. But David acts straight away on the advice that's given, and they all cross and they come to a place called Mahanaim. Mahanaim's mentioned in Genesis 32 because that's where Jacob was met by angels of God in Jacob's troubled time. David follows good advice and God sees him through. It's sad, isn't it? We see the actions of Ahithophel. When he sees his advice is not taken, he goes home, he puts his house in order, and he commits suicide. What a tragic end. What a tragic end. Warren Wiersbe, in one of his commentaries on this, says, all of us need to pray, Lord, help me to end well. It says in Scripture, doesn't it, you did run well, who cut in on you? What does hinder you? There have been people who started well, perhaps you know people, who started well, who seemed to trust and follow the Lord Jesus, and then for some reason or another, they drifted away or they turned their back on the things of God. And that's tragic. A challenge to us is to, by the grace of God, finish well. It's a book written by Dr. J.I. Packer on getting old and beyond retirement, and it's called Finishing Your Course with Joy. That's the way, isn't it? As we get a bit older, we get a bit nearer to heaven, nearer to glory. And that should encourage us. Not, oh, I feel, you know, I'm frail now, I've got more aches and pains, I'm slower than I used to be. I've got all these, which we have, you get all sorts of problems as you get older. You get them when you're young too, don't you? But let's remember this. The future is glorious. Keep your sight set, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He'll see you through. Let's make sure by his grace we finish our course well, not like Ahithophel. One of the commentators compares Ahithophel and his suicide with Judas. And his suicide, Judas also betrayed his master as Ahithophel betrayed David, and Judas took his own life as Ahithophel did. But we know that in Judas's case, the Lord Jesus died on the cross. David was free, but Jesus died. But he died for our sins and rose again. And that's again in God's plan, part of the glorious gospel for you and for me. I must draw to a close, but the actions of Absalom, he just gets his huge army and he camps in Gilead to carry out his plans. But the last action is the action of David's friends. Isn't it lovely? When David has crossed the Mahanaim and he's there with all his people who are with him and he's weary and tired and thirsty, what does it say? Well, right at the end, isn't it? From 27 to 29, you see that, those verses? Here are his friends, and they come, and it says they brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans. They bring good supplies to feed those hungry, exhausted troops, bedding of some kind, so they could rest from their weariness. Isn't that wonderful? God provides. Isn't that what Scripture teaches? My God shall supply all your need. That's the promise of Scripture to the people of God. Here we see it illustrated in the life of David. And that should encourage us. Advice. This book, the Bible, not just in this chapter, but all of it, is good advice. Good advice because it's from God and it's profitable for us in every way. It makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and it teaches us all that we need to know during our earthly pilgrimage. You have God's word. Do you value it? The Queen was told at her coronation a long time ago now, wasn't she? Take this book. It is the most valuable thing this world affords. Is that how we feel about the Bible? Somebody once said that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. May we be those who love the Word because we love the Lord and we want to trust and follow Him through all the changing scenes of life until He comes again or calls us home to glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the advice it is for us in your sovereignty and your majesty, your plans and your purposes and your glorious provision, material provision, and especially spiritual and eternal provision in the Lord Jesus. Help us to love your sacred word and view our Saviour there. We ask these things in his dear name. Amen.